Campari.
Before, you mentioned sometimes also in these phases action is needed, and sometimes being quiet and nothing is needed. And also now my the two people where I said before, so they're having the operation today. So every time we have to decide in a sense of, okay, now it's time to act. Now it's time not to do anything. So when do we know when action is needed, or how do we know, okay, now it's time to receive and not doing anything, so that we do not interfere in this caretaking of the universe of Mother Nature.
The moment we don't ask ourselves when it is the right time to act and when is the right time to not act, then we are in the flow with life.
Okay.
If you understand this,
yeah,
you know, then life shows you exactly the right moment. It's like when you have to go to the toilet, you don't sit on the couch and you think, should I go now? Or because you can still delay 5 minutes, 10 minutes. But at one point, you will make your sofa wet if you still try to find a deeper source of reality. The best is when it's time for action, life shows you directly and unmisunderstandable, now it's time to do something. It's very natural, actually, like with the body, also with our energetic body, with our activity body. It's also natural. Sometimes it's good to do, but then some people, they remember somewhere they read or somewhere they heard, it's time to meditate. And then when it's time to act and to do something, they sit on their stupid couch, they close their stupid eyes, and they go in some stupid meditation just to avoid action. And justifying this avoidance with some stupid concepts they heard, which were right maybe in a certain context, but right now life is calling you, idiot, for action. Get off your stupid sofa and do it. That is the whole point. The moment one steps aside from the flow of life and one thinks, is it now the time to act? Then you can be sure it's not. You lost the flow. It's an intuition, you know. It's an immediate response with life. Life wants you to do it, do it. You're hungry, you go to eat something. Or you try to avoid it because, you know, many reasons. This is not good food for me. Or one always has one can play with life because life gives us the freedom. But the whole point is, don't misuse this freedom to do your own decision upon life. Follow life also. Follow it. It wants you to act, do it.
Could we say that when we are hesitating to make any decisions, so when we start like, should I do it, should I not do it? Because some people are very good in they need a long time for decisions because they're considering all aspects. And at least from my point of view, wow, that's so much of time that you're just reflecting, should I not? So could it be, as soon as we start hesitating should I act, should I not act, should I decide something, that the moment is already gone and it's better not to do it?
You're already fallen out of grace the moment you hesitate and you ponder all aspects. You've fallen out of grace of the whole, of the one, of God, of existence, of consciousness, and you take the burden of responsibility in your own hands, and then you have to pay for your own results also. I want to think about it. I want to look at all the aspects of I. No, that is exactly the whole point that many people misunderstand. Life is calling you moment to moment, actually, to act, to understand, to do, or to relax, to do nothing. Each moment is actually a wisdom and complete in itself. The moment you think, I have to look at all the aspects. And so in that moment, one is fallen out of grace actually already, because then one takes the responsibility on oneself, and then one is separate already. It's a very, very fine line to stay connected with yourself, with the truth. And sometimes yourself and the truth wants you to suffer a bit, actually, because the suffering also shows some aspects you might have not seen without the suffering. Even that might be important sometimes. And trying to avoid it, or not wanting to have it, it's like, as they say in Christian tradition, having the dead bodies in the cellar. You know, sometimes it's good to open the cellar and look, aha, out of this, again, grace will start to flow. One faces one's own existential fears and avoidances, and then suddenly you are again in grace. Ultimately, grace is doing the job with your hands, because grace alone, without your eyes, without your hands, without your feet, without your body, is just presence. But with you, it becomes also action. So it needs to be in a connection with it. The moment one separates and one thinks for oneself, because one heard, I'm responsible for myself. Of course you are. Of course you are. It doesn't mean that you have to separate yourself from who you are, from the source. Because then you're really doomed. You might even have a temporary success and you might go off, oh, I did it. No, it's grace did it through you. This is the whole point. And if grace wants you to do something, do it. And if grace wants you to suffer something right now, because it might be a teaching at the moment, not forever, but for a temporary time being, then look at it deeply and see, okay, I accept this too. I accept it. I'm ready for anything open-hearted. Because it's you who does it through me anyway. I love you. If you want me to starve, I starve for you. If you want me to die, I die for you. If you want me to have the success, I will have it for you. Mm. It's not for me. This is the understanding of not being separate. And then one can use also one's intellect. One can make even a list, to-do lists. But again, you're in connection. Even if you write, but who is moving your hand? Mm. Who is having this wish? Who is having this smart plan, organization, structured mind? Again, grace. Again, the source. It's just one aspect that you use from it. But the moment one is only identified with this bloody list of to-do and is not connected to one's own source, one is again, how to say, separated simply. Then it's like 50-50. You might win, you might lose, and you're still in this limbo state. One has to be also happy if one doesn't have something, what one wants, or if it comes what one wants, to offer this also as a flower. Thank you so much. Because thankfulness comes back as thankfulness also. Existence loves to hear thank you. It loves. And many people are not capable, when things go wrong, to say thank you, because it shows me also something. Or even when one is sick sometimes, it shows one also, or when one is weak, one doesn't feel good, to even then be thankful, because life is never punishing. Life is always actually affirming and calling, come to me, I'm you, I'm you. I come to you as illness, as failure, but I'm you. This is the whole point. This beautiful message from Shiva and Parvati, not drinking their chai on the mountain. Parvati made beautiful tasting chai, and Shiva just sits down to pick up the cup and drink, and suddenly he lets it down and disappears, goes, and 2 seconds later he comes back again, sits, takes his chai as if nothing happened. And Parvati is puzzled and asks him, what happened? Where did you go? And he says, oh, one devotee of mine, he was in big danger right now. A tiger was about attacking him and he screamed, oh my God! Then immediately I went to help him. But when I reached him, he took a stick, a little bamboo stick, which was there trying to kill the tiger. The poor guy is being eaten now by the tiger. He didn't let me do the job. Because his patience or his devotion was not long enough to see even this fear would have called me actually to see that I help you. Even when a tiger attacks you, I help you. But in the last moment, nobody comes, so I rather beat this bloody animal. Okay, devotion very good, trust very good, but in this case, be rather on the safe side, darling. Otherwise, darling, you will go. Not realizing that we come from the source and go back to the source. Or like this other one, this other joke I remember. A man walking in the mountains, enjoying the fresh air and the cool breeze and the sunshine and the blue sky. And as he walks in the mountain, he comes on a ridge, which was a bit dangerous on the left, on the right side, with nice trees following. And then the trees were stopped at one point, and he was working on this ridge, dangerous, and then he slided, and underneath of him is a few hundred meters of an endless gorge, and while sliding down, he was screaming, "My God, my God!" Losing his balance, basically going to die. And then he somehow stretched out the arms, and then he grabbed one twig, and he was holding the twig, and the twig was starting to come out with the roots, and he was again screaming, "God, God, help me!" But the twig was coming out more and more, and then he could see almost that the twig was losing its roots in the earth, and then he shouted, "Hello, is there anybody else up there?" And he fell, because that was exactly the moment of distrust. He realized there is no God to help me, because the twigs come out more and more, the roots. And then he screamed for somebody, "Hello, anybody else up there?" Being separate, you see. Although the help was there, he found the twig. Just trust, be thankful.
It's this unshakable trust, so to say, and handing over to grace.
Yes. And you know what? This unshakable trust is not separated from unshakable own personal understanding who we truly are. Only when you really unshakably know that you are in the hands of Her Majesty of love, compassion, love, and whatever she gives you will be at the end good for you. Then one has unshakable trust. It's the same. Understanding and trust is the same. For me, mind and heart is the same. It's not like one is separate, the other is closer to God. No. God's aspect, things, plans, structures, but it's always in unity, in peace, in harmony with the self, with Her Majesty. So one cannot practice unshakable trust, you know? It's quite an interesting topic, because this is all affecting all of us.